News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Welcome. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and I welcome you today. We have an excellent program for you today. I have as my guest today the Honorable Judge Lewis Stearns. He is calling in from Texas, where he sits on the District Court, the 213th District Court in Tarrant County. He has been a judge for many years. He has been a criminal district court judge. He sat on the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, which is the highest court in Texas when it comes to criminal appeals. He is a former defense attorney, criminal defense attorney, and I have been trying to get him on my program for a long time, so I am very pleased and honored to have Judge Lewis Stearns on the radio. Judge Stearns, are you there?
Good morning, Attorney Mitchell. I am so honored to be on your program. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, my pleasure, really. Judge Stearns is from East Texas. He received his bachelor degree from Wichita State University, his Juris Doctorate from the University of Kansas School of Law. As I said before, he has served on the court in several courts in Texas, and currently serves on the district court in Texas. He's won numerous awards and recognition for his legal prowess, but he's always vehemently defended the right of criminal defendants to have a rigorous defense. And we've had discussions about this, shall we say. Judge Stearns happens to also be my brother-in-law, and I'm very proud to say that. He's married to my sister in Texas. And I've been wanting him to come on the program because he truly understands why we defend criminals, bad people. Would you share that with my audience, please, Judge Stearns? Why is it that you are so committed to the notion that everybody deserves a good defense if they're accused of a crime?
Thank you, Ethel, and I'm certainly glad you put out there that I am your brother-in-law, so people know that we have had these discussions before.
Oh, we've been talking about this for a while, yes.
We really have. Well, it's very important that we recognize that all Americans have rights to have an adequate and effective defense. And, you know, we have those rights guaranteed in the Constitution, and I believe very strongly in our Constitution. I believe very strongly that, you know, we must make certain that justice is provided to each and every person, because when we take shortcuts, when we fail to recognize that each person is entitled to a fair form, a fair adjudication of his guilt or innocence, that's when we make horrible, horrible mistakes. A case in mind is a case that I was involved in a few years ago, and it was a case where I was appointed to conduct what was called a court of inquiry, which is a very unusual court proceeding in Texas.
Yes, it is.
And the facts of that case were these. The defendant was a Anglo man who lived in a suburban city of Georgetown, which is just north of Austin. On August the 12th of 1986, his wife was brutally murdered in their home. This man was a person who did not have any type of criminal history whatsoever. He was a gainfully employed individual trying to raise his family. Well, shortly after her death, the focus of the investigation centered upon her husband. And in October of that year, he was charged with a murder. Well, what happened in that case was probably one of the greatest travesties of justice in Texas history, in that the prosecution failed to recognize certain rights that are guaranteed under the Constitution, and primarily the right to of a defendant to have any evidence that's favorable to him revealed.
So that is a right. Yeah. So I want the audience to understand, when you're a defendant and the police have or the prosecutors have evidence of your innocence, they're supposed to share that with you. Is that what you're saying? I want to make sure I'm...
That is exactly right. Police have a duty, and the prosecution has a duty to inquire and to make certain that they have all of the favorable evidence. We call it exculpatory evidence. But all of the evidence that would tend to be in the favor of the defendant has to be revealed so that the defense can investigate it. And in this particular case, there was a complete failure to reveal exculpatory evidence. This man was found guilty of this crime, sentenced to life imprisonment. He served some 24 years and 7 months in prison before he was finally exonerated. And what we discovered during my court of inquiry hearing was that a couple of things. One, the prosecution had in its files notes from neighbors about another individual in a green van being parked near their house. The prosecution also had in their files evidence that a bandana had been found in the back of their house. They also failed to reveal a conversation that had been had with the maternal grandmother, the deceased woman's mother, and the three-year-old son who was at the house during the course of the murder. All of this evidence was favorable to the accused and should have been revealed to him. And the significance of it really is that when the bandana was finally, after 20-plus years, revealed, and DNA tests were run on it, it was discovered that there was a DNA of the victim and the DNA of another man on the bandana, not the DNA of the defendant.
Wow.
That, along with the other evidence, including evidence that someone had used the deceased lady's bank credit cards after her death. None of that was turned over?
Oh, my.
None of that was turned over. So it's a very interesting story. And the defendant's name is Michael Morton. And as a result of that act, that case, a lot of changes have been made in our discovery laws here in Texas. But it's just real important that we respect every defendant's right to have received a fair trial. And in that particular case, one of the terrible consequences, if you will, of that miscarriage was that the person who was responsible for the killing of the deceased lady was free. And coincidentally, another lady was murdered in a similar fashion, not very far away, by another gentleman. Now he has been charged with that murder.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Perhaps obviously the wrong man was in jail while someone else was free.
Right. And does that happen often? I mean, or
it
can you even
more
tell?
Often than it should. It happened more often than it should. I think you know that we've had some pretty prominent exonerations here in Texas in the last few years. And I can't say that it's commonplace, but it's more often than it should happen. And what we had some years ago, particularly in a few of the counties, and was that there was a culture among some prosecutors that said, win at all costs. And you can't have that.
Win at all costs.
The goal of prosecution, yeah, the goal of a prosecutor is to make sure justice is done.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to come back to this because we got to take a break right now. But thank you very much. But we're going to be right back. We have to take a break, and we're going to continue the conversation.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
1450 WOL. where information is power.
Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low risk of investment, while providing impeccable service to our customers. When you're ready to sell, renovate, or invest in a property, choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
Foreclosure is coming. Repossession is coming. Garnishment is coming. Tax levy is coming. Who's going to stop this from happening, you may ask? Frank Morris and Morris LLP. That's right. Frank Morris can help you stop the foreclosure, stop the garnishment, stop the repossession of your car, and stop the tax levy, too. He's just a phone call away at 301-731-1000. 301-731-1000 or at MorrisLLP.com. If you're trying to get out of debt, modify your mortgage, and stop wage garnishment, pick up the phone now and call Frank Morris at Morris LLP at 301-731-1000. You don't have to go through this alone. Frank Morris is here to walk you through the process quick and easy and without all the hassle and red tape, but you need to call now. 301-731-1000 or log on to MorrisLLP.com. That's Frank Morris at MorrisLLP.com. Stop foreclosure, repossessions, garnishments, and tax levy. Let Frank Morris help you today.
This is the sound of one person walking. This is another. Imagine the sound of more than 5 million footsteps, one for every American living with Alzheimer's disease. Now add in the millions more who feel its effects. And think about the impact we can make when we all walk together to put an end to Alzheimer's for good. Join us this fall for the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's. 7 walks in the D.C. metro area. Sign up today at alz.org/walk.
Listen up, folks. You don't want to mess with the IRS. They have the power to garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, and even take your home or business. That's all true. But it's also true that they are offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. So now's the time. You could qualify for a tax settlement that is 75% lower than before these changes, saving you thousands. Nobody knows this program better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Their attorneys and agents will fight to get you the best possible tax settlement, and they have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau to prove it. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Optima Tax Relief for your free consultation today. Call Optima Tax Relief.
Call 800-354-2840. 800-354-2840. 800-354-2840.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Robert Johnson. Join me Thursdays, 10 a.m. on my show, The Time Is Now. The time is upon us to change our communities. We need to get involved and stay involved. The time is now to mobilize and organize, to discuss community outreach, community engagement, self-advocacy, and self-determination. The time is now, and change begins with you. Join me, Robert Johnson, Thursdays at 10 a.m. on 1450 WOL.
The University of Maryland Eastern Shore Washington Metro Alumni Chapter will host their 25th annual Hawk Recruitment Reception, open to all high school students and their parents in the Washington metro area. Learn about UMES and its academic programs, talk with the president, student leaders, and receive on-the-spot admission decision information. Light refreshments will be served. For more information, contact Monica Kay at wmaareception@gmail.com to reserve your spot today.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Welcome back to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and we are honored today to have the Honorable Judge Lewis Stearns calling in from Texas. This is an excellent time, if anyone in the audience has questions about criminal law, to call in and ask them. Daryl is here at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Attorney Judge Stearns has a long amount of time where he has both defended criminals and been on the court as well. But of course, you know, what you're hearing is going to be information for educational purposes only. There's no attorney-client relationship established by anything that we say on here, but it's an excellent time for you to call in and ask questions. So please do call 1-800-450-7876. Stacy is on social media, so if you want to tweet something at Law Talk EM, she will send it to me, and I'll be glad to ask the question, or go to Facebook, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Judge Stearns, we were talking about the importance of a good, vigorous defense for defendants. But we know that just in that case where the prosecutor failed to turn over evidence that would have proven the innocence or could have led to a verdict of innocence for that particular defendant, what about cases where there are no such... there is no such evidence. Why do we spend so much time and money on defending people that it's fairly clear that they are guilty of the crime? I mean, and that's where you and I have had a lot of discussion about, you know, there's some pretty bad people out there and they need to be locked up. But
you know, everybody, regardless of the crime, should have a defense, because even though we may conclude that this is an open and shut case, there may be some factors that ought to be brought out that maybe it's not a complete defense, but maybe it's a mitigation factor. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something in the background of that individual that would indicate perhaps mental illness issues. Maybe that's what caused him or her to commit that crime. Maybe he was insane at the time of the commission of the offense. You know, that's why you need a lawyer to investigate and look at the facts. And, of course, you're right. In some cases, a good lawyer will evaluate the case and interview all the witnesses and decide that it's best to go ahead and plead guilty and try to get the best sentence that he or she can get for the client.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't, you know, mean that just because someone is guilty, that person does not have a right to have a trial. You know, probably the biggest example or the most prominent example of that, and maybe the younger audience member would not remember this, but those of us who are older remember that when in the aftermath of the assassination of President Kennedy, a guy named Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, and it was televised. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right there in the court building over in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Ruby was still entitled to have a trial, even though the whole world saw him as he pulled the trigger and shot Lee Harvey Oswald to death. So it's an important right that we all have.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller on the line, Judge Stearns, that has a question for you. Hello, may I help you?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to know if judges and attorneys are doing anything to help our men and women in prison who need their medication, because a lot of our people in prison, they are dying because they're not getting medication. Some of them are diabetic. Now, my son, he was in a locked up, and he has lung problems. He says... his lungs fill up with something. He tried to explain it to me, but he couldn't get his medication. What is being done about that?
Okay.
Can you speak
That's
to that, Judge? Yeah, it is a good question.
Well, let me just say this. Actually, at least in my state, the proper way to approach that would be to contact the detention facility director, whether it's the local sheriff at the local jail or it's the prison officials. And it's really not a function of the judiciary. But I understand your frustration, and certainly I would be frustrated if I were in the same situation. But The appropriate way to handle that would be to contact the prison facilities and document your request. Put it in writing. If you have some medical records to back up what you're trying to say, let them see that. And there may be some other person in your jurisdiction that you should contact. But it's once a person is sentenced, that case is really not something that the local judge has anything to do with other than if the case is sent back on appeal.
You know, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in. Judge Stearns, one of the frustrations I know of people here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area is that quite a few of the men and women who are convicted here and who are from here are sent to prisons hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away. And so their families have difficulty keeping up with them. And then they have these really expensive phone call arrangements where if you call somebody, you have to pay so much money. You know, they really lose touch with their loved ones. Is there anything that you can recommend to families that are facing that kind of thing?
Well, you know, I think probably the only thing I could recommend, and again, please understand that I'm speaking as a Texas resident.
Yes, yes.
And our system is different from yours. But the only thing you really could do about that would be to contact the prison authorities and try to see. But, you know, they have, at least here, we have classification offices in the prison system. And based upon certain classification and based upon certain staffing needs and prison population issues, that's what determines where they send a particular inmate. And unfortunately, they can't necessarily accommodate family members in terms of making sure your defendant is close to you. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that could also be a legislative issue where maybe the legislature should take a look at, you know, where the prisons are located. Should they be located closer to the areas from which most prisons are coming from? And that's something you can take out with your legislature.
With the legislature. I think that's a good answer. Good answer. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. We're speaking with Judge Louis Stearns from Tarrant County, Texas. Please do call in. It's an excellent time to get questions answered about the criminal system, the judiciary or criminal defense, prosecution, and so on. Call in. Darryl will pass your call on 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. Related to what the lady just called about, this is slightly different, but I know that you have dealt with death penalty cases, Judge Stearns. If any of the listeners or their families are facing those kinds of cases that are punishable by death, what are the things they need to know? What kinds of things do they need to know?
Well, you know, those are very serious cases, obviously, where death is potential penalty. First thing, I think a person who's unfortunately in that situation or their family should do is they should get to know the attorneys. And in practically all of those cases, the attorneys are court-appointed. And I know there's been a stigma associated with court-appointed attorneys throughout the years. Some of it deserved and some of it not deserved. But get acquainted with the court-appointed attorneys. Make certain they have the background information on your loved one that they need. Because in some of those cases, not all, but in some of those cases, there are mitigation issues or factors that the lawyer need to be able to present as he attempts to persuade a jury not to impose the death penalty. For example, let's say there's evidence in the background of the defendant that he has a very low IQ or that he had some sort of traumatic head injury while he was young. That could affect his cognitive abilities. Mm-hmm. So you want to try to investigate all of that and make sure that that information is provided to the lawyer so they can fully investigate it, I should say, and present it to the fact finder at the trial. But, mm-hmm. yeah, as I was saying, those cases are are very expensive. I can tell you that in our state now, it's not uncommon for attorney's fees in death penalty cases to, just for the trial, to exceed, you know, $500,000.
What?
We always appoint, yes, we always appoint two lawyers, and generally it's $250,000 to $300,000 per lawyer. So the average person cannot afford to hire a lawyer in a death penalty case. And you're really better off to have that court-appointed lawyer who can, since there's a decision in the case of Akey versus Oklahoma, he can get the assistance of experts that he may need in defending the loved one.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. That is, oh, I didn't know it was that much. My goodness.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
Very
and expensive. And the families need to do that before the trial is even taking place. Don't wait until they're convicted and then bring the information. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. Get involved early with the case. Get involved early with the case and get the information. And again, you know, obviously some of these people have committed some horrible, horrible crimes, and maybe there's not much to work with. But if your case is one where either it's a defense or not really a defense to the crime, but there's some mitigation factors that ought to be taken into consideration, get involved early and make those facts known to the attorneys and be proactive. You know?
Mm-hmm. Because in those kind of cases, you do have access to experts. I hadn't thought about that. But the court-appointed attorneys would have a lot of access that you may not have as a private person, or you couldn't afford as a private attorney that you hired.
Exactly.
Plus, they probably have the experience.
That is exactly
right.
And I can tell you that, as a judge, it's fairly routine for us to appoint psychiatrists, DNA experts, mitigation experts, blood splatter experts, field of expertise. But various types of experts are appointed routinely in these serious cases, in addition to appointment of investigators that, quite frankly, most people just can't afford that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good information. That's very good information. Please do call in if you have questions about these cases. 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. We have to take another break, and when we come back, I've got some more questions for you. Thank you very much, Judge Stearns. Hold on.
1450 WOL, where information is power.
If you died tomorrow, could your loved ones cover the cost of your final expenses? Considering that the average funeral costs between $3,000 and $10,000, would they have the means and ability to handle such an expense? Don't make a very emotional time for your loved ones even harder with a financial burden associated with death. Take the first step towards providing your loved ones with the protection and peace of mind they deserve. Call Ted Robinson Insurance at 301-593-6700 and learn more about affordable final expense insurance with coverage up to $30,000 and enrollment eligibility up to age 85. No medical exam is required, rates never increase, benefits never decrease, and it cannot be terminated due to any changes in health or age. For more information or to get covered today, call Ted Robinson Insurance at 301-593-6700. That's 301-593-6700. Or visit Ted Robinson Insurance at 2401 Blue Ridge Avenue in Wheaton, Maryland.
Throughout history, the hopes, dreams, and promise of America have been shaped by African Americans. On Saturday, September 24th, history will once again be made with the grand opening of the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. Join us for the grand opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture, Saturday, September 24th. For more information, visit nmaahc.si.edu. Sponsored by Bank of America, Kaiser Permanente, Prudential Financial, Target, and Toyota. A people's journey, a nation's story.
It's time to gear up for fall at John Deere with a new compact utility tractor. Get 0% financing for 60 months, big implement bonuses, and our free 6-year powertrain warranty on versatile, easy-to-use John Deere compact tractors. It's time to gear up today and save. Offer ends October 28, 2016, subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial. Terms, conditions, exclusions, and warranty limitations apply. See dealer for details.
Visit Greenline Service at greenlineva.com. Or for more information, visit myjohndeeredealer.com.
you listen when your body says, I'm tired, or I'm hungry. Are you listening? Would you listen if your body said, I have pain and pressure in my abdomen. I feel bloated for no good reason. Or, I get too full too fast. I'm spotting, but I've already gone through menopause. Or, I have to go to the bathroom more often and more urgently than usual. These can be signs of a gynecologic cancer, like cervical, ovarian, uterine, vaginal, and vulvar cancers. Symptoms aren't the same for everyone. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen, learn the symptoms, and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Listen Wednesday, September 14th from 10:30 to 11 a.m. on WOL News Talk 1450, Montgomery Mosaic, a show focused on your community in Montgomery County. Join host Deborah Milo as she welcomes Deborah Feinstein, Senior Assistant State's Attorney Chief, Special Victims Division State's Attorney's Office. Tune in to hear about Domestic Violence Awareness and Prevention Month, Mosaic, Wednesday, September 14th from 10:30 to 11 a.m. on WOL, News Talk 1450 a.m.
1450 WOL, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. This is Attorney Ethel Mitchell, your host. Our guest is the Honorable Judge Louis Stearns from Texas. And he has been enlightening us about criminal law, criminal defense. We have a caller on the line, Fahima. Hello?
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. And of course, also having this very important discussion. I'd like to make a couple of very, very, very important points. So please don't cut me off.
No. We're here for questions, okay? Questions. Do you have questions for Judge Stearns?
Well, I just wanted to make a couple of points that I think is relevant, as I'm sure that the judge and yourself will acknowledge that when one, merely because one is charged with a capital murder case, they're not necessarily always guilty of such, and that's why there are organizations such as the Innocence Project and also Amnesty International. And many of these cases do drag on very, very long time. Like, for example, in Chicago a number of years ago, the governor had did away with the death penalty because many of these cases, you know, there's a disparity in the judicial system. And as I'm sure the judge is well aware that being the distinguished person that he is, has presided over these cases. A case in point was the case, and one of my good friends, Attorney Thomas Ruffin, he represented the late Troy Davis, who was, in fact, executed by the state of Georgia. And, you know, that case dragged on for a long time, and there were clear and convincing evidence that he did not commit that crime. And we also are familiar with the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. So I just wanted to say that merely because one has been charged with a heinous crime or a non-heinous crime does not necessarily always mean that they are guilty, because there is disparity in the judicial system, and justice is not blind.
I think that's an excellent point. I think that's
Thank
an excellent
point. Thank you for
allowing
me to make my comment.
Of course.
And I would love to hear your response.
Yes. No, Judge Sarnes?
Absolutely correct. Yes. Uh-huh. She's absolutely correct. There have been some very grave and serious miscarriages. And, you know, as a judge, I think my job is to try to eliminate the errors as best that we humanly possibly can. But sure, there have been some situations, and it's very unfortunate, where people have been wrongfully convicted. In my very court, I recently, about 2 years ago, approved an order of exoneration when evidence came to light that this man who had been convicted of murder actually did not commit the crime. So, yes, that actually happens, and we as judges and members of the legal profession have to work very hard to try to eliminate the biases and the anything else that prevents a person from receiving a fair trial and receiving a just outcome.
Yes, yes, very good, very good. And I want to thank the caller for raising that point. I think it was an excellent point. Do call in if you have any questions, 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. There's one thing I want to ask you about, Judge Sarnes. I've noticed I don't look at them often, but in the cop shows that are on TV, they always, you know, like isolate a suspect in their room, their offices or whatever, and they talk to them and talk to them and finally get them to talk. And what do you have any advice for people when they're being questioned by the police or when they come up in front of the court and they're asked about, you know, did you do it and so on like that? Is there any advice that you can give to a person who's just suspected of a crime or even if they're accused of a crime and it's right at the beginning of the process?
Sure. I think any lawyer who practice criminal law would always advise the client to exercise your constitutional right to remain silent and to request the assistance of an attorney. And
right
under
away.
Our law, under our law, of course, if the person say, I need an attorney, that request has to be honored. Mm-hmm. And either an attorney is retained by the person if he can, or the court has to appoint an attorney on that request. But there can be no further interrogation of a suspect once he invokes or requests the appointment of an attorney or the assistance of an attorney. And that's a constitutional right. It doesn't mean you're guilty. It just means that you want to make certain that your rights are protected as you have an interview if you decide to do so with police. But any lawyer worth his salt will say to a client who's suspected of a crime, exercise your right to remain silent and request the assistance of an attorney.
So in other words, be quiet. Don't say nothing.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Because it looks, just looking at the, I don't do criminal law. I mean, years ago I had to take cases when I lived in St. Thomas. Lawyers have to, we're appointed to represent people. But when I look at them, it's like, you know, even when they have just a suspect or they go round up people and they have them in their car and stuff, and they just get them to talking, and they just seem like they convict themselves because they keep talking.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that in many cases that I've seen over the years, that's exactly right. I've seen cases where defendants have. And of course, they always think they're helping themselves, but they invariably say things that end up making it worse for themselves, implicating themselves in the offense. So, you know, there's a reason why we have the Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with using that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very valuable right that we all have.
It doesn't mean that you're guilty.
It does not mean that you're guilty.
But the cops try and make you feel like, you must be guilty if you don't want to talk to me or whatever.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I'm not going to downgrade the law enforcement people because they're trying to do their job. They're trying to make our community safe. But at the same time, you have to be willing to assert your own constitutional rights to protect yourself in that situation.
And you have that right. You need to use it. You definitely need to use
it.
Right. So your advice is be quiet and say, I want to talk to my lawyer. if the police come up to you. And can you say that if you're just standing on the street corner and the cops come up and want to ask you questions or whatever?
How does
that work?
You know, that's what we term as a temporary detention. And the law enforcement does have the right to temporarily detain and ask for your identification. And you have to give that. You can't refuse to give that. You have to give the temporary identification that they need. But now if they begin to say, we're getting to focus on you in their question in terms of a particular office, that's when you're right to invoke counsel.
Mm-hmm. Just say, I want my lawyer. I don't want to talk to you. I want my lawyer.
Right.
Or I want a lawyer. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We have another caller on the line. Good morning. May I help you?
Hello, attorney and your honor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Rick. I'm calling from Germany. And my question is regarding the law. Many callers call into talk shows and make the assertion that nothing has changed for Black America in America. I would like to ask you how the law has changed since 1930 to 1990, and specifically in Texas.
Okay. All right.
Interesting call. Well, all the way from Germany. I was wondering about that number. Yeah.
Hey, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And that's a great question. Well, certainly there have been some changes. In particular, you asked me to look at changes from the 1930s to now. First of all, back in the 1930s, you did not even have a right to have counsel. Certainly not the right to have counsel appointed. And for me, as a Black attorney, and now jurist, one thing that I've noticed is that we now can actually get juries that look more like us. The first 10 or 15 years of my practice of criminal law, I tried a number of criminal cases, and I couldn't get any Blacks on my juries. They were either not in the pool, or the prosecution could use their peremptory challenges to exclude the Blacks from juries. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court decided in about 1984-85, in a case styled Batson versus Kentucky, that the prosecution could not use their peremptory strikes in such a manner as to exclude racially identifiable groups. So now we routinely have Blacks on juries. In fact, all of our cases that we try now, there are Blacks on the jury. I will say this. One of the problems that I see as a judge is that quite often when Blacks are called down for jury service, we try to avoid serving by claiming that we're too busy or claiming that we feel like we cannot pass judgment on people. And the end result is we manage to get ourselves excluded from jury. So we need to have people who are willing to come down and serve as jurors. But those are some changes I've seen, certainly in the criminal justice system over the years. And, of course, maybe one of the most significant changes in terms of law enforcement has been the advent of DNA evidence. That has been, brought about a seesaw change in the way criminal justice is administered in this country. So those are some changes that have been definitely for the better.
I would like to close with a final question. Has the death penalty gone through massive change between 1930 and 1990?
Well, I think it has.
In Texas.
In fact, I know it has. It has. It's still utilized in a number of states, including my home state of Texas. But it has changed. There's more focus upon the quality of the representation a defendant charged with capital crimes. And two, we now have in the law provision for the consideration of mitigation evidence as opposed to the way it once was, where mitigation evidence was not considered. And the application of the death penalty statutes have been narrowed in such a manner that it's supposed to eliminate some of the arbitrariness of the imposition of death penalty. So it has changed. Is it a perfect system? I don't think we have a perfect system, but it has changed for the better. I will say that.
Okay. Excellent question. Excellent question. Thank you. It's important, I think, that the public know how important it is for us to register to vote and to serve on juries, because a lot of times I've had lawyers on as guests in the military, and I know you were in the military. You were a lawyer in the military as well. Defendants might be black, and everybody else in the court is white. And in the general population, that happens as well. So if you don't vote and then you don't sit on the jury, then you're leaving the fate of a lot of our young people, especially young people, in the hands of people who are not always very sympathetic at all.
That's exactly right. And you know, Elta, let me just say this. And I'm not sure what the trend is, but I can tell you in our state, we now select jurors from driver's license rolls.
Oh, really?
Once it was they were just selected from the voter registration rolls, but now they're selected from driver's license rolls. So
that's a
more diverse pool of people.
That's a great idea. I've never heard of that. That's a great idea. Yeah. Tell me also, because the time is going so fast, but do you have any suggestions to families and incarcerated persons who have done their time and they want to be productive members of the society? Do you have, because I know you've been in the criminal system on both sides of the bench, so to speak, and you've seen people come and go. What can you share any information about what you would recommend for persons who are trying to reintegrate themselves into the society successfully? What would be, given your experience in this, what would you recommend?
Elta, that question is one that baffles me, in the sense that we as a society have not determined how we're going to address the inability of people who have been incarcerated to find employment and to restart their lives. And I think it's a society problem. It's a problem that on the federal level of Congress and on the state level, the legislatures are going to have to address. We all know that a person who has been convicted and has been sent to the penitentiary is less likely to be employed. And unless these people are able to find work, then there is a greater probability that they're going to return to a life of crime. So I think that's an issue that each community has to address and try to figure out ways to open doors of opportunity for these people to be employed again. And it's a legislative issue, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are young. They're smart.
That's exactly right.
You know, I was seeing where a debating team in a prison beat Harvard's debating team or some Ivy League's debating team.
Yeah.
The guys were smart. These men are men and women, for that matter.
Yeah. Well, we have too much human resource that is we're not taking advantage of. We really do. And that's an issue. And there's so many issues that I think the legislatures are going to be looking at in the future. You know, we've got the issue of the difficulty of these people in getting employment. We got issues of people having mental health issues, and that sometimes causing problem with them in the criminal justice system. We have issues of people with drug abuse history and addiction.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of issues that just really need some attention.
Yeah. I definitely can agree with you on that. Do you have time to say anything briefly about police brutality or what's going on with the police? You know, we're very close to having to. Is there anything briefly that you'd like to share with the audience about this whole situation with the spate of apparent unjustified shootings by police of black men?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's a topic that I've given a great deal of thought to, and I just want people to try to stay alive, okay? And I speak as a father and a grandfather, not only as a judge, but as a father and a grandfather who's concerned about my own children mm-hmm. in situation, and great-grandfather. And I'm concerned about my own children as well as others when they're in these situations where they encounter law enforcement. It is so important that persons involved in that situation take a deep breath when they're stopped and make certain that they don't do anything to escalate the situation. And I think it's also very important that the law enforcement officers be trained not to overreact. Because mm-hmm. what I see happening is we have a situation in our communities where the community people do not trust law enforcement. And law enforcement lacks trust in the community people. And quite frankly, law enforcement is afraid when they stop so many of our young people.
Yeah, they are scared. They are.
They're afraid, and their thought is, he's going to do something, and I'm going to shoot first.
Mm-hmm.
It's that shoot first mentality that has created the problem.
Yeah.
But I'm telling people, when you are stopped, first of all, put your hand on the steering wheel. That's what law enforcement wants you to do nowadays. Put your hands on the steering wheel and not get out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that officer approaches you and he's rude, be pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Take
That's good advice.
Whatever complaint you have with him later.
Yeah.
So out there on the scene of the stop,
he's the law.
You're not going to win by getting into an argument with a guy who has a gun on him.
Right. You're not going to win it. Right. I think that's excellent advice. That's good advice.
But look, observe his badge number and his name, and you don't have to tell him you're doing it. Just do it.
Just do it. And then you can make a report. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Judge Stearns. It's been wonderful to have you on. Hopefully, we can get you back. We've got to end here, but thank you so much for sharing your expertise with my audience. Thank you very much.
I have enjoyed it, and I do apologize that it took so long, but I have absolutely enjoyed this radio program.
Well, thank you.
Please.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
WOL, where information is power.
Listen Wednesday, September 14th from 10:30 to 11 a.m. on WOL News Talk 1450. Montgomery Mosaic, a show focused on your community in Montgomery County. Join host Deborah Milo as she welcomes Deborah Feinstein, Senior Assistant State's Attorney Chief, Special Victims Division State's Attorney's Office. Tune in to hear about Domestic Violence Awareness and Prevention Month, Mosaic, Wednesday, September 14th from 10:30 to 11 a.m. on WOL, News Talk 1450 a.m.
Throughout history, the hopes, dreams, and promise of America have been shaped by African Americans. On Saturday, September 24th, history will once again be made with the grand opening of the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. Join us for the grand opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture, Saturday, September 24th. For more information, visit nmaahc.si.edu. Sponsored by Bank of America, Kaiser Permanente, Prudential Financial, Target, and Toyota. A people's journey, a nation's story.
It is coming like a freight train with no brakes. It is foreclosure, and there is no power on earth that can stop it. Except
MorrisLLP.com. It is coming like a freight train. Foreclosure, repossession, garnishment, tax levy, creditor harassment. It must be stopped. Let attorney Frank Morris stop foreclosure and creditor harassment in its tracks. If you're one in five homeowners in foreclosure today, attorney Frank Morris and his staff are here for you. Call now, 301-731-1000. 301-731-1000. Don't wait. Hurry and call today. 301-731-1000. Or log on to MorrisLLP.com. Stop foreclosure and creditor harassment today. Call attorney Frank Morris. Don't face it alone.
The live recording of the TV show Grown Folks Dancing, and you are invited. Calling all line dancers from Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Represent. Show off your group or steps. You can even bring your own music. You've seen the show on TV. Now be a part of it. Show your skills and just...
WOL Washington. WPRS HD2 Waldorf. WKYS HD2 Washington. WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, a Radio 1 station, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink in my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior. And I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up. Until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud.